Welcome to the Skinny Podcast, where we talk all things dermatology. I'm Carol Nicotero Ward.
And I'm Terry Rudd.
Let's start with a quick reminder. Our monthly podcast is available on iTunes for free. Search for us using the keywords The Skinny, Dermatology. We hope you subscribe.
Here are the stories we have for you this month. First, we'll hear from dermatologists about their experience with the Massachusetts State Health Reform Law.
Money, money, money. We'll hear about an increase in dermatologists' salaries.
And then, some encouraging news about efforts to improve hand washing in healthcare facilities.
Later in the program, cosmetic counter host Dr. Lily Talakoub talks about a new health warning regarding spray tan chemicals.
And finally, Dr. Alan Rockoff explains why being a little hard of hearing can sometimes make things easier in a marriage. So stay with us. Well, let's get started. Carol?
While the nation is waiting to feel the full impact of the Affordable Care Act, Massachusetts physicians already have 6 years of experience with a similar law that overhauled the healthcare system. Mary Ellen Schneider has more on how dermatologists have fared in the Bay State.
In 2006, then-Governor Mitt Romney signed a law that required all residents to obtain health insurance. It set up a state health insurance marketplace to offer choices in private insurance, and it expanded Medicaid. The state also began subsidizing the cost of health plans for low-income residents. The law has resulted in nearly all of the state's residents being insured. Preventive health screenings are up, while emergency department visits for non-urgent conditions are down, according to the state. But insurance doesn't always equal access, at least when it comes to dermatology. Dr. Lewis Kushner, president of the Massachusetts Academy of Dermatology, explains.
Although the law here has increased the number of people who have coverage, they really don't have any better access to dermatologic care. The reason is that very few dermatologists can afford to participate. The reimbursement for Medicaid and the other state-subsidized plans is actually less than our overhead in many cases.
Dr. Alan Rockoff, a Skin and Allergy News columnist who practices in Brookline, Massachusetts, said the low reimbursement from public payers is a problem, but it's not a new one. Many of his colleagues in dermatology stopped accepting Medicaid patients long before the state's health reform law took effect.
But I think that the decision not to accept low reimbursement patients is one that goes beyond the healthcare law and reflects more a business decision on the part of many physicians, dermatologists included. I don't know that the healthcare law changes that.
Once the Affordable Care Act, the federal law, is in full effect in 2014, dermatologists in other states could see some of the same dynamics. They may see more patients coming to their offices, Dr. Rockoff said, but chances are reimbursement for these new patients will be lower.
If many dermatologists choose not to accept the insurances that people who get insured under the healthcare law have, then that would definitely be a hindrance to the access of such patients to care. How that can be addressed besides reimbursing more generously, I don't know.
Now for more on the bottom line. A new survey shows that the median income for dermatologists in group practices rose by 9% between 2010 and 2011. Nassim Miller has the story.
The median income for dermatologists was $428,000 in 2011, up from $392,000 the year before. That's according to a survey of 350 dermatologists in group practices. The survey also showed that dermatologists in single specialty practices earned slightly less than those working in multi-specialty offices. Income also varied widely based on geography. Dermatologists in the Midwest earned the most, followed by doctors in the West, South, and East. Salaries for most specialties rose by about 8% in 2011. The survey was conducted by the Medical Group Management Association.
Are your hands clean? A new study suggests that a majority of healthcare facilities around the world actively promote hand hygiene. Heidi Spleet has more on this trend.
At long last, hand washing protocols seem to be taking hold in healthcare. Nearly three quarters of healthcare facilities around the world are currently involved in some type of national hand hygiene campaign. That's according to data from more than 2,000 facilities in 69 countries. The facilities were surveyed about their hand hygiene practices and were rated as inadequate, basic, intermediate, or advanced. Overall, 41% of the facilities fell into the intermediate category, while another 24% were rated as advanced. While nearly all said that they trained their staff on proper hand hygiene practices, the scores varied widely by region. The lowest average score was at a facility in Africa, while the highest average score was in the Western Pacific. The findings were presented at the annual InterScience Conference on Antimicrobial Agents and Chemotherapy.
Now it's time for our monthly cosmetic counter segment with Dr. Lily Talakoub. Fall is here, and your patients may be turning to spray tans and creams to keep their summer look. But the Food and Drug Administration is warning that one of the chemicals contained in those topical agents could be harmful. Here's Dr. Talakoub with the details.
Spray tanners are used in booths as a spray or a mist on the skin. Self-tanners are also have been used in creams applied to the skin with hands. These agents, spray and self-tanners, use an agent called dihydroxyacetone, which is a coloring agent that's used to give the skin a tanned appearance. The FDA has recently put out a warning saying that it is not FDA approved to use dihydroxyacetone in sprays or mists in spray tanning booths. These agents, when sprayed or mists applied, can actually penetrate through the eyes, the mucosal membranes, and inhaled, and have been found to be risky for people's health. These agents can be used in self-tanners when applied by the hands. However, when counseling patients in the use of dihydroxyacetone products to give their skin a tanned appearance, oftentimes I recommend using the self-tanners when applied in lotions and creams rather than going to booths or having these agents sprayed on the body with a mister. These agents do have long-term health benefits and are at this point not FDA approved. So counsel your patients with regard to these sprays or mists and have them use their creams instead.
And now, from his office in Brookline, Massachusetts, Dr. Alan Rockoff dispenses some marital advice, courtesy of his patients.
What is the secret of marital happiness? Rivers of ink and deep pools of pixels have been spilled on this vital topic. Clergy, counselors, and wedding planners have all weighed in. Why not dermatologists? I often ask recent brides how they met. One young woman recently told me her husband is from the South. They met when I spilled beer on him at a bar. She had gotten up from her seat, turned around, and sloshed him with her glass of draft, he being a large person and in the way. I was skeptical, claiming that such things only happen in movies, but it seems not. She's expecting their first child, so I guess things are going well, at least for now. Now to the other end of married life. One morning a few months ago brought me face to face with not one, but two couples, each of whom had been married an astounding 67 years. All four spouses seemed happy and in possession of their faculties. My student that month was a young woman. I turned to the wife of one of the couples. Myrna seemed especially sharp, a pistol, in fact. "My young friend is engaged," I said, indicating the student. "Can you give her any tips on the secret to marital success?" Without missing a beat, Myrna said, "Deafness." "Deafness?" I asked. Was I hearing right myself? "Yes," she said, "deafness. I say blue, he says when. I say smile, he says thanks. Neither one of us can hear a thing the other says, so we get along perfectly." There you have it. This is Dr. Alan Rockoff reminding those of you who are married not to speak too clearly, and those of you who are not married to dodge any flying beer. Could be Cupid at work.
That's it for us. We'd like to thank this month's contributing reporter, Heidi Spleet. Our producers are Nassim Miller and Mary Ellen Schneider. And this podcast comes together under the guidance of Skin and Allergy News Managing Editor, Amy Pfeiffer. I'm Terry Rudd.
And I'm Carol Nicotero Ward. Don't forget to visit our website, skinandallergynews.com. And remember that you can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes for free. Just search for The Skinny. We'll be back with more news in November.